I'm an alcoholic. Whew, there's a lot of you. So tonight I'm going to share with you guys my experience, strength, and hope, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I grew up in a home with non-alcoholic parents, and my parents ended up getting divorced when I was around 6 years old, and my dad moved out, and I turned 10, and my father was a big part of my life, and he ended up abandoning me for all of his girlfriends that he decided to have. Like, there was many of them. And I felt very lonely inside because he was like, I was like a daddy's girl. And I started doing cheerleading, and that was like the love of my life. I loved cheerleading, and I thought I was going to be this famous cheerleader at a football college team, and I thought I was going to be like this amazing thing, and that was always my dream. And then I was 10 years old, and I got diagnosed with this thing in my arm called fibrous dysplasia, where it's just in my left arm, and from here to here, my bones are very fragile, so like if I fall on them, they'll shatter. So I ended up having to quit cheerleading at that time, and I thought all my dreams were shattered. I had nothing going for me, but I was always very smart in school, and that's where I used cheerleading to cope with my life. I used that as my tool, and I didn't have that anymore. And then also when I was 10 years old, I lived in New York. I grew up in New York, and my cousin used to come visit from Florida. And he started molesting me at the age of 10 years old, and this went on until I was 16. So I always felt empty inside, and I always felt less than, and I always felt like I had to have this approval from someone, and I never got that until I came into the program. So I turned 13, and I found drugs and alcohol. And I started out drinking, and I started out doing other things, but from my first drink, I was taking off my clothes, jumping on a trampoline. I was insane. I was crazy from my first drink. And I never thought like I had a problem until I turned 14, and then my counselor's like, oh, do you think that you could be doing this to cope, and do you think you could be doing this to run away from your feelings? And I was like, no, not me. Are you kidding me? I would never have a problem. Like, I would never be one of those people that I can call an alcoholic or a drug addict. I would never be that. So I went into high school, and I started sleeping around, and I started drinking, and I was crazy. And I got this reputation, and I used to walk through school every day being tormented, like literally tormented every day, and I felt like a victim, but really I was creating my own chaos. So I ended up turning 17 years old, and I ended up with a needle in my arm, and I ended up doing things that I never thought I would do. And it got really bad to the point where I wanted to kill myself. And it's actually an amazing God story, because my mom, I went out on a week binge, and my mom was supposed to go into work this one night, the last night, like the seventh day of my week binge. She was supposed to go into work that night. She worked night shifts, and she's a nurse. So there was a random list of people that were supposed to be called out, and only one person was going to be called out out of work, and they ended up calling my mom. And for some reason, I went home that night, and she grabbed my camera, she grabbed my pocketbook, and she took everything, and she saw pictures of me being crazy and called the cops on me, because she's like, who is this girl? Like, I don't even know who she is. And while the cops were waiting, she was waiting for the cops to come to my house, she went in my car and found needles and all types of outside substances, and went crazy. Looked at my arms, I was a wreck, and I was like, I just want to kill myself. Like, I don't want to live anymore. There's no reason, I have no reason to live, and I didn't know my purpose in life, and I had no purpose, or so I thought. So I ended up being Baker acted, and I went to a psychiatric institution for 3 days, actually 4 days. She made me sit in there, and she would call me every day and say, this is better than jail. And I was like, okay, Mom. And I was like, I still want to kill you. And I was so mean to her. And I went to treatment in 12 Oaks in Navarre, Florida. And I was very attention-seeking. Part of it was my alcoholism, and the other part of it was because of the sexual abuse. I always needed that attention. And so I thought I knew everything, because I had started going to the rooms like 2 weeks prior, 2 months prior to my bottom, and I was like, oh, I know this program down pat, like, you guys don't know what you're talking about, I know everything. And I had it handed to me because this one technician there took me aside and she said, listen, Liz, you need to take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. And I wanted to punch her in the face. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I listen. Like, and the next day I ended up trying to take her advice and I realized that I didn't know anything. I knew nothing. And I really started to listen and started to take things in. I got out of treatment and I was going to meetings every day. I had to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And I, at first when I came in the rooms, I was hanging out with the wrong people and I ended up getting drunk with those people. So my mom was very skeptical of me going to the rooms again, but I knew that that's what I needed. So I was like, Mom, I'll be good. So I go to meetings and then I had sex once and I ended up getting pregnant and had to get an abortion and my mom didn't come to my graduation and that's what I had to go through in my sobriety. But I realized in that time when I was so depressed in sobriety that I have a choice. I can be miserable when I wake up because I'm free today. I can be miserable when I wake up or I can be happy and I can choose to learn from my mistakes. And when it says in the promises, we may not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it, I firmly believe in that because I'm going to use my experiences to benefit me. I'm going to use my past as an asset today. And I ended up going through my journey of recovery and I changed sponsors because my sponsor was going through something and she couldn't sponsor me anymore. And I ended up finding this girl, my sponsor, named Lori, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me because she took me through the steps, the AA way, and it was just this amazing process where I found God and I realized that God didn't bring me this far along to drop me on my head. And that God's got my back, and that nothing happens in God's world by mistake. And I learned all these things with her. And after I got done doing my steps, I swear I looked at the world a different way. Everything was different to me. Everything was beautiful. Nothing anyone could say could hurt me because I have control over my life today of what I do and what I say. Now, I'm powerless over everything else, though. I am powerless over alcohol, I'm powerless over drugs, I'm powerless over what you do and what you say. So therefore, that is such a relief because I don't need to control everything anymore. I don't need to control anything. It's up to God. And through doing the third step, I realized that I can turn my will and my life over to this power greater than me and learn that I don't have to control things anymore and that God will take care of me as long as I let him be the director. And that's what I did. And I kept doing that and I went to 90 meetings in 90 days in the beginning. I got a sponsor. I followed the suggestions and that was a big thing for me. I followed every single suggestion and when I got my new sponsor, you know what she told me? You're only allowed to go to women's meetings. So that's what I did. And it was the best thing that I could have ever asked for because it really helped me look at myself. And the whole thing to me is about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I have to be honest with myself. I have to be honest with you guys. I have to let you guys in. And I need to be open-minded to let all the shit that I had in myself be poured out. I had to let everything out. And I had to have an open mind and remain teachable. And remaining teachable to me is very important because I don't know everything and I will never know everything. And I have to keep coming back because if I don't keep coming back, then I'm going to lose what I have. And the other thing, being willing to do whatever she says and willing to go to any lengths for my sobriety. I'm willing to do anything as long as I don't have to live that horrible, miserable life and be a prisoner of my disease anymore. I don't have to do that today. And today I have a choice. So honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness is how I do this program. And I read the big book. I read my daily meditations in the morning. And pretty much just praying and meditating. It's so important for me. And after I did my fourth step and got to clean out all the stuff that was bothering me and that was built up from so long ago, I got to then tell my sponsor, tell her out loud all the things I had done, and that was such a big relief doing the fifth step. And going on to my amends, that was another great thing because I never thought I could own up for my part in anything. And I actually did that. And I learned today that I can, you know, use the tools that I have in this program to help me succeed. And the gifts of this program are unreal. Like, I can't even express to you guys enough how great this thing is if you just keep coming around. Because I've learned how to respect myself. I've learned how to respect other people. I have a good relationship with my mother today. I have a good relationship with my father today, who I despised. And I can actually talk to him on the phone and have a civil conversation with him. My little brother, I used to like hit him and stuff and like blame him for everything. And I can be nice to him today. I can go home to visit and I'm actually nice to him. Like that's such a gift. And just the relationships and the bonds that I form with these women in the program are unreal. And I believe that you got to stick with the winners, because there are some people who, like me in the beginning, were just looking for other people in the rooms to get drunk with. And, you know, you got to, well, for me, I had to look for the winners, look for people that had what I wanted. And that's who I looked for my sponsor. I saw her, and I was like, wow, this lady is so happy with her life, and she's doing great, you know? And today, I'm actually in a relationship with somebody. Like, me in a relationship, like, that, I never thought the day would come that I'd be in a healthy relationship with somebody. So I'm truly grateful, and I have to remain grateful, and for me, I make gratitude lists all the time, because gratitude lists help me stay in today. And how I really did this thing is one day at a time. I had to stay in the moment as much as I possibly can, because there's two things we can't change. We can't change yesterday, because all the money in the world can't change yesterday, and we can't change tomorrow. Tomorrow isn't even here yet. God forbid I can get in a car accident. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So if I just stay in today and enjoy what I have and be grateful for the things I have and do the things I need to do and try to be my best and help others, because you can only keep what you have by giving it away. And I don't know. I think that's all I got, but I'm just so grateful to be here, and thank you guys for letting me share.